All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We're recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We are really honored today to have on Veterans Radio Dr. Chrissy Ann Gordon, who has an interesting story of involvement with veterans and TBI. Dr. Gordon, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Well, you have an interesting background that I'll let our listeners know a little bit about. You are a Youngstown, Ohio gal. You grew up in Youngstown and actually know my wife, Brigadier General Carol Ann Fossone. You guys went to Cardinal Mooney High School together.
Right, right.
You went on to Duquesne University and then ultimately the Ohio State University Medical School, where you graduated with your doctorate, summa cum laude. So you're one of the smarty pants from that group. And
That's all.
Yeah. Well, there's always a lot of studying involved. So you have experience in internal medicine, emergency room medicine, occupational medicine, rehabilitative medicine, and you're board certified by the American Board of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation.
Correct.
So you've been a busy busy MD all these years.
I really enjoy it. I'm very blessed to have a job that I love every single day. So that's really good.
And what brings you to our program is that in about, I think it was 2008 or so, maybe a little in front of that, a friend of yours lost her son.
Correct.
He was in the Army. Tell us a little bit about that.
Correct. And it's very interesting, Jim, that we would be speaking today, because Sergeant Zachary McBride, just would have celebrated his 29th birthday on Sunday, this past Sunday, the 16th. His story is a Baptist minister's son from rural Oregon, Rhodes Scholar, had numerous scholarship opportunities available, but remembers being in middle school when the towers came down and made his decision along with some of his schoolmates that day that they were going to join the great service of our nation, join military service, and do some things to right some wrongs. So I'm very much attached to him and his story. He was only in Iraq 4 months when he went into a booby-trapped house with about five other members of his party, and all of these young men lost their lives in that occasion. So he was just turned 20. His parents, as many military members know, I'm not from a military family, and I thank you and your wife, Brigadier General Carol Ann, for helping me with this part, but they had to actually sign for him to go in early because he was only 17 when he graduated from high school. So with the fact that he died and his parents' guilt and the survival guilt from the members of his comrades around him, I decided to do something else to remember him, and that was to volunteer my services at the Chalmers P. Wiley, the outpatient clinic for the VA here in Columbus, Ohio. This was his, he was killed in action on January 9th, 2008, and I began my tour of duty, my service with them. I contacted them right after his funeral on January 19th and volunteered my services to do the traumatic brain injury screening. So that's how I got started down that pathway.
Well, on behalf of all veterans, I want to thank you for mobilizing your skills and services to help veterans. And I do think in a country where such a small percentage of people now serve, this isn't during Vietnam with the draft or even World War One or Two where everybody was involved. We now live in a volunteer force period, and there's a lot of disconnect for people to understand what goes on to this in the service. So you jumping right in and saying, I've got to do something, I've got to do my part,
right,
is really commendable, and hopefully things others will do. But where did that experience lead you to?
Well, I will say it's very interesting. I was smiling when you were giving, you know, all of my schooling, because, you know, that part is important. But I tell my young heroes coming back that what qualifies me most for this position to assist him when anywhere possible is that I've been lucky enough to be a victim of a traumatic brain injury myself. And by that I'm saying it was really a clumsy move on my part, putting up Christmas decorations about 15 years ago. And as I can relate to the young heroes coming back, I certainly did not have my brain injury by seeing my brothers and sisters in front of me blown up in an IED, an improvised explosive device explosion. But I had many of the same characteristics, kind of the hypervigilance, avoiding crowds, all of the above. So the first individual, the first young man that I interviewed at the VA, it was really a defining moment in my life because we went through all of these screens and I said, well, you know, you definitely have a traumatic brain injury, but according to these screens, you have post-traumatic stress disorder, which means that I do too. And I was putting up, you know, Christmas decorations, so how could this be? And I will tell you that the young man grabbed my wrist so tightly, and he looked me right in the eye and said, so, Doc, what you're telling me is I'm not crazy. That was a wake-up call for me. You know, that was patient number one, and I sat there, you know, at that point in time, I've got to tell you, I was thinking that I would be there for a couple months. I volunteered several days a month. I'd be there for a couple months and move on, and I looked and I go, oh, my golly. You know, if these young people coming out of here, and he was 21 years old, you know, I mean, there's a lot of life in front of him for him to think that he has a mental disease. As I tell him that TBI and even PTSD, we're proving now, are actually forms of brain injury. So I tell all of these young folks, you're out of your brains, not out of your minds. And that's how physicians and healthcare providers need to look at it. And as you and Caroline know, there's not a whole huge segment in the healthcare profession in general that understands traumatic brain injury. There's only about 8 to 10% of us in the country that actually, you know, take care of this particular injury. So,
well, and let me back up. Your prior medical training and experience wasn't with this injury, or wasn't with psychiatry or some other, you know, a brain specialty, was it?
Well, you know, we in rehab medicine, physical medicine and rehabilitation actually has a subset in traumatic brain injury, and we like to think of ourselves as being the ones who really know what to do about it because we are very holistic, you know. We are not neurologists, who I just adore, but they look primarily at the brain and spinal cord. And in rehab medicine, you look at everything, the social, you know, what is this person going to do, not just tomorrow, but next week and a month after that and a year after that. So, yes, physical medicine, we aren't a huge specialty. There's about 4,500 to 5,000 of us specialized here in throughout the nation. So certainly it became a defining moment for me thinking, you know, we need to mobilize all of the PM&R people, and there's not very many of them in the VA. The Veterans Administration, and you coined it right there, has notoriously used psychologists and psychiatrists to treat what was then known in the Vietnam era as post-traumatic stress disorder. And where that's really very helpful, the new, you know, kind of imaging surfaces that we have available to, you know, detect brain pathology is telling us now, you know, this is a little different type of process going on in the brain than we had originally thought. So it's a great learning time, and I think that so many of our young veterans have been willing to, you know, kind of been studied at various institutions to prove what exactly is going on in their brains.
And I think, well, I'm jumping out of order in my own mind here, but
okay.
Can you talk a little bit more about how the imaging technology has given medicine a whole new look at this problem? And I mean new as in, this is like in the last, what, 5 years or something that this has begun to evolve?
Correct. You know, again, I say my best training was my own brain injury, where after I kind of hit my head against the wall, literally, I was unconscious for somewhere around 20 minutes or so. I'm not quite sure. But when I kind of came to, I was unable to speak, and I was unable to speak for over 6 weeks and had no feeling in the right side of my body, and yet, when I was taken to the emergency room about 6 hours later, I had a totally normal MRI. And even though I wasn't thinking very clearly at that time, I sat there and said, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not making this up. You know, I can't speak. I know what I want to say, and none of the words will formulate. So I became very interested way back when, about 12 years ago, as you know, there must be more here than even the MRI, which was the gold standard at that time. Well, since that time, we've even taken brain imaging a couple steps further, and one of my favorite tools is the diffusion tensor MRI, which is using a lot stronger magnet than is normally used in an MRI, and it shows not just large areas of compromise, but can actually get down almost to the cellular level, to the, you know, there is the nerve cell or a cluster of nerve cells, and here are their axons, here are their feelers going out to the brain cells telling what to do, and you can actually see where those have been ripped and where they are bleeding on an almost individual level, and that's what is needed to diagnose the traumatic brain injury of the IED explosion or the mortar explosions or what was ultimately going on in the brains of the Vietnam veterans back in the 60s and 70s, but we had no ability to see it.
So that's what the new technology really kind of allows, is you can actually see that it's a physical injury in the brain.
Correct.
And I don't think everybody in the general population understands that or looks at it that way. I think we're probably still a decade or two behind catching up.
Right.
But from a medical standpoint, you now have information you didn't have before.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I have to thank, you know, you and Brigadier General and the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, because for your listeners in that area, you were actually very helpful for our foundation early on, Resurrecting Lives Foundation early on, in getting about 25 young veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who had had a blast injury. Something had blown up right near them, and their age-matched sibling who had not had any brain injuries, and we took them to Albert Einstein University in the Bronx, where the number one diffusion tensor imager in the nation, Dr. Michael Lipton, was willing to bring his entire team, and literally, you know, they donated great hours of time to this project to prove to both the Department of Defense and the VA that there was an actual injury. And they were able to do that. It was an amazing thing. And we have the great folks from the state of Michigan and the Brain Injury Association and Major Richard Briggs for helping us out with that. So thank you for helping us get going.
Well, I think it's really important work, and it goes back to your patient number one who said, you mean I'm not crazy?
Yes.
You can now tie it back to, yeah, this isn't a mental disease.
Correct.
This is a physical, organic injury inside the brain.
Correct. And to add just one other thing, so we have those special testing going on at Albert Einstein and at St. Louis University, Washington University in St. Louis, a Dr. David Brody was using a little different variation of the MRI, and that was kind of looking at what we call functional MRI, and it kind of tells you what part of the brain is working at what time. And he was able to determine that post-traumatic stress disorder not only is much more prominent in people with brain diseases, but actually is a form of a brain injury. It is kind of a chemical replay of the situation that was very dire to you. You know, as I tell my young heroes, it's a survival mechanism that's kind of gotten a little bit on auto drive. You know, you can't quite turn it off like you'd like to, but what the brain does is keep remembering the last thing that led to your survival when perhaps those around you did not survive. And it plays it over a few too many times. But since we now know that that's kind of a chemical brain injury and the blast injury kind of causes something within the brain cells itself, we can begin to treat this in just a little different way, which is cognitive rehab and using rehabilitation techniques rather than some of the psychotropic medications used in the past that kind of, you know, slow the brain down or kind of snow it. So it's a totally different, you know, it was a totally different thing for the VA and the DOD to embrace. And I am amazed at how quickly they have made that turnaround. And in no small part due to programs like this and getting the civilian world, the 99% of the resources involved in the reintegration and rehabilitation of our returning veterans.
Well, one of the things, and I think you've hit on it, and that is, you've got to get that. Sometimes you got to get that other sector going,
right,
the private sector, to help move along the public sector. One of the things that you did after your VA experience is sort of interesting. Is you were compelled to put together a documentary about this. Can you talk about your documentary on veterans with TBI?
Yeah, surely. And I will say, and I actually said this at the Army AMED down there at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. I said, my old brain, and your wife could attest to this because she knew me in high school, my old brain would have never been so bold as to say, oh, I think I'll just do a documentary, you know. But because I had a brain injury, that kind of filter is a little bit gone, and I thought, how are we going to get the word out fast enough? And just like this podcast, like you and I were just discussing right before we went on, in our world right now, the young people, the millennials, the people who are serving, really rely on podcasts and the internet and visual knowledge. So I said, if we could just get, you know, a 20 or 40 minute documentary and let people know what's going on, both with our young soldiers and their families, but also the fact that we need the civilian world and the DOD and the VA to all get together and work together to solve this problem. That's what we did. So we did some filming out in California, which I fell in love with because every day is a sunny day and you're able to film outside every day. And we talked to about 12 veterans out there, and there's 5 major veterans throughout the documentary, and it's basically them telling their story. What happened to them when they were in combat, in theater? What happened to them when they came back? How they were able to help pick themselves up, or how they weren't able to? And one of the things that I found out is just in telling their story, so many of these young veterans actually improved. And, you know, my veterans will be the first to tell you I'm kind of smiling at this because I'm half embarrassed about it, but it's true. They said, you know, Doc, you're the perfect person for this job because you love telling people what to do, and we need to take orders. So of these people that we were able to interview for the documentary and talk about what our young veterans and their families need in terms of healthcare and education and employment and how the civilian world needs to get involved, we were actually able to improve every single one of their statures at that time. We had a couple of them who were homeless. We had a couple of these young vets who had actually been what we call couch surfing. You know, they didn't really have a home or an address, but they'd crash for a month in some person's couch and then another month at some other person's couch. And it's been an amazing transformation, a little bit in a veteran, a little bit of rehabilitation, a little bit of assistance from somebody from the civilian world goes a long way. So we have, you know, one of the gentlemen is right now in USC Law School. Another one just graduated from UCLA Business School. A third one became the alternate voice for the San Diego Padres. Now, these are young men who had no place to live when we were talking to them, okay? And that's all in a matter of about 4 or 5 years. So they did an amazing job with that. The 5 major stars that I call them, we took the documentary. We were able to play it on Capitol Hill through the great graces of our representative, our U.S. representative, Steve Stivers, who is a colonel in the Ohio National Guard. And during that particular day, we were able to reach 127 congressional offices, about 27 senatorial offices, and 4 major pieces of legislation were written, 2 have already passed, dealing primarily with traumatic brain injury.
And listeners, you can hear the passion that Dr. Gordon we're talking to has, and I think it's humorous as well that her new brain, her post-TBI brain, lets her be this bold.
Yes, it is.
Is the documentary available on your website?
You know, I don't know if it is, but I will make sure that it is within the next 2 days, and I will send a link to you in case you have someplace on your website.
I'd love to get it out and promote it.
Surely.
So let's turn quickly then to the Resurrecting Lives Foundation that you have founded. You have an incredible board, an incredible advisory board, some great sponsors. Tell us about Resurrecting Lives Foundation.
Okay, so what we kind of came up with the word, the title, Resurrecting Lives, and I did that because of my own brain injury. You know, when we talk about somebody with a brain injury, everybody uses a phrase, you know, bell rung or lights out, nobody home. You know, that's a really common expression, and even though it's kind of slang, it actually does tell the story. There is nobody looking back at you. I mean, we have so many of our young vets who are alive but not really living. So we're bringing them back to life. It may not be the same life they had before they went to war, before their brain injury, but it is their new normal. And what I tell each of them, we want to use your abilities and your attitude and your aptitudes to the best of your own abilities, and we need the civilian world to help you out with that. So what we are doing, we're kind of formulating this right now, and in 2017 we will roll out our employment initiative. And my belief is that we don't want to do, and I'm keeping bold here, okay, keeping bold, and tell the Brigadier General there I'll need some help from her and her buddies, but we really want to change the military separation process. I really do not think that our young men and women should be discharged from the military base and just given a handful of cash and a handful of pills and maybe a disability rating and sent on their way. You know, I believe that we need to get the Fortune 500 companies, we need to get the trade schools, we need to get the educators on the military bases at the end of that TAPS program, at the end of that transitional program, and say, where would you like to go? What would you like to do? Let's see what we can do to help you. And because we deal with the TBI piece, our job is going to be kind of that liaison between the veteran who is leading service with a known brain injury, or one who may discover it later, and their HR department or the department in their college or university. Because there is that transition that is very different, and I just learned it from them. I know you and Carol Ann lived it, but you're no longer in the military environment. And where so many of us in the civilian world think how dangerous that is, so many of them think how difficult it is to manipulate through the system here to get your VA benefits, which is something that your law firm has been so helpful at, because it is difficult. And if you have a brain injury and you're trying to work through that, you can't. So we are going to the CEOs, to the chief executive officer. I call it from CEO to CEO. They go from a commanding officer to a chief executive officer. We're getting companies to buy in a big way, not just have a hiring fair. And I know that hiring fairs are good, but they provide a job. I do not want to provide a job. I want to provide employment. I want a career. I want a future. I want the entire family to be able to see that, yes, your military service mattered to us. And so we in the civilian world are thanking you by helping you with your transition.
I want to say, listeners, this is an interesting idea that there should be outplacement. When you leave the military, particularly if you have a TBI, shouldn't we have outplacement that gets you right into a new career path,
correct,
right over to one of those Fortune 500 companies who are accepting you with all the skills and all the warts that you have, but you're going to work through it, and you're going to work through it a lot better if you've got something in place. It's a great idea, Dr. Gordon. It's bold, and I'm sure your passion will bring you far in implementing it. But tell people a little bit of how they follow you, how they get involved with what you're doing, and if they have loved ones who have TBIs who may need help, how do they reach out?
Right, that's a very good thing. Yes, our website is our primary way of getting information out and staying in touch with people, and it's a very long website because, after all, the title is resurrectinglives.org, so it's pretty long, and my email address is just drgordon@resurrectinglives.org, and that's G-O-R-D-O-N, like the people who are old enough, Flash Gordon, and I don't know any other very young Gordon, but there's a race car driver. Yes, I know, Jeff Gordon.
Jeff.
Right, right.
Jeff Gordon.
So if you just remember that, drgordon@resurrectinglives.org, if you have somebody who is in need of services, I don't care what state you're in or what country you're in, to be perfectly honest with you. We've taken care of liaison, getting networking for healthcare and employment in 28 states so far, and two other countries, Great Britain and Australia, the coalition forces. So that's a very good way of doing that. I will tell people this, and I do have passion in my voice, and I think it's so important right now for us as a nation to reevaluate where we're headed and really take and embrace our 1% of our country that decided to be brave enough and strong enough and whatever to say, I will serve and I will protect you. And so I think that the entire nation needs to rally behind this cause. We say, you know, resurrect the hero, strengthen a nation. And that's what we're trying to do as well. So if you have congressmen, if you have senators, both within your state and within Capitol Hill, I definitely love Capitol Hill. Like I said, I mean, I'm just an ordinary citizen. It was my five guys with TBIs that were able to get four different pieces of national legislation out there in favor of giving some protection and some cognitive retraining to somebody who had suffered a traumatic brain injury in defense of our nation. It can be done. What we need to do is focus on what we should do as a nation to make us stronger and not be doing so many things to tear each other down. And I believe that the veterans, the military, these are the people who can help us solve that particular kind of divisive issue in the nation right now as well.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Chrissiane Gordon of Dublin, Ohio, for being our guest today, to sharing her experiences, both as a TBI patient, but more importantly, maybe as a TBI advocate for our veterans. You can find out what she's doing at resurrectinglives.org and follow her there. Her email is drgordon@resurrectinglives.org. I want to thank everyone for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Chrissy. I'm here at Legal Help for Veterans. You can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows at veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.